Welcome everybody to another episode, and the topic is opinions of how can you figure out which opinions are true opinions, which opinions are not true, and the word I'm going to be using is opinion, emotion-based opinions, which is what most opinions are anyways. And this is something that I've really become aware of when looking at emotions and opinions and what they are, what they actually are, and what they're actually trying to tell you. Which often means finding a way to disconnect from the... finding a way of becoming aware of the emotion and the opinion. Together, finding a way of simplifying that into a fact or to an exaggeration or whatever, and then disconnecting that from the emotion and opinion as much as possible, right? So, today we're going to be talking about what types of opinion-based emotions, emotion-based opinions, whatever word you want to use, is what types exist, what they look like, you know, this kind of thing. So, the first type is the true type. So, the true type, honestly, if this exists, is probably very rare, but it can happen. So, the true type is the opinion based emotion, or the emotion-based opinion, that is an opinion that is more true than other types of opinions that you might have. Maybe this is because they have less emotion. Maybe it's because they are more aware of certain things than they were, whatever it was, right? So, these types of opinions are probably very rare, to be honest with you, because the truth of the matter is that most of these opinions are very exaggerated, or there's a blind spot somewhere. So the next type of opinion-based emotion or emotion-based opinion is what I call blind spots. So, what I mean by blind spots is, and we can use the word emotion and just emotion, because that's really what it is anyways. When we talk about opinions, what we're really talking about is emotional positions. So, what is a blind spot in this regard? So, I could refer to a couple of different things here. Outer blind spots could be referring to something along the lines of like, something happens, you become very upset, disappointed, triggered, whatever it is, because you didn't expect this to happen. Now, this is a blind spot because these things will happen. If you don't take into a possibility that these things will happen, you will not see them coming. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to expect anything that happens. But if you take into account these possibilities that you don't normally take into account, without getting emotionally involved in like, oh, yes, you're right, these things happen, it's so sad, it's so bad, and it's this kind of thing. If you could avoid doing this, that's also helpful. So, that's one example of a blind spot. Another example of a blind spot is, some people might call it projection. There's other ways this can happen, but like, projection is where you have an idea Or you have this darker seeker or whatever. Or no, let's just give you an inner blind spot, because projection is something that is somewhat similar, but we all kind of know what that is in some ways. So, of course, there's my definition of projection, and then there's psychological definitions, but which I've talked about before, and I mean, it's been a while, but anyways. So the other kind is inner blind spots. And then there's different ways this can show up, but could be something like you're triggered by something somebody does or says to you, not because what they do or say is actually truly offensive, but because it stirs some form of truth within you, something that you're not willing to acknowledge, something that you're not even willing to become aware of within yourself. Anything about this. This is what I call a blind spot. And there's different examples of blind spots. There's different kinds of these different blind spots. You know, another kind of blind spot could be like, you could be on the right and you could point out all the problems of the left, but then somebody points out some of the problems of the right that you might even be aware of, and you're like, oh no, you're wrong, because this is not as bad as the problems of the left or whatever it is, right? Vice versa. Because those are your blind spots. Those are things you do not want to become aware of, because they would change your narrative. You would have to become accountable to yourself. You have to become accountable to others. And there's a reason why people don't really like doing this, especially at these deeper, darker levels, is because people judge and people create judgments about these things. And you do the same thing, right? And this is what it is all about. And there's many different other kinds of blind spots, I'm sure, that you might be facing yourself as well. The other kind of thing that happens is what I'd call exaggeration. This is probably more common, but blind spots are definitely pretty common as well. So exaggerations go something along this line. So what happens when you exaggerate is that what emotions really do, I've really become aware of this, is that they are kind of like magnets. They kind of like steer you towards one particular area over other areas, and so you will exaggerate this particular area. So especially if you have strong emotions, this is what's going to happen. So for instance, you could have a conversation with somebody, and the person is being as considerate as they possibly can to you, but if they tell you something uncomfortable about yourself, some uncomfortable truth, whatever it is, right? And you go, no, how dare you say that? That's inaccurate. You know, you exaggerate, you have blind spots there as well, perhaps. And you exaggerate, you say, well, this person is mean because he said this. How dare he say this kind of thing, right? A lot of conspiracy theories exaggerate things like this as well. The world is watching everybody and this kind of thing, right? The world is out to get you, this kind of stuff. And as I talked about in the episode, instinct, emotion, rationality, I talked about how conspiracy theories are rationalized and how that works and what that's caused by and things like this. And so these are the three basic forms of emotion-based opinions. Truth, blind spots, and exaggerations. You know, a true emotion-based opinion could be something like, I say I'm this way, but I'm really this way, you know, whatever, right? Or it could be something like, I know this person is this way, even though he thinks it's the other way, whatever that other way is, right? And the question really is, how do you distinguish truth from exaggerations? And the answer to me usually has to do with the amount of emotion that's happening right now. When you become triggered, you're probably becoming exaggerated. You're probably exaggerating things. So because of these exaggerations, you become convinced that these truths are true when they're just exaggerations. They may be true. You know, it is seemingly true that the earth is flat, but it's not true, right? They might have seeming answers for why that is, but if you look closer, if you look at other viewpoints rather than flat earthers, you realize that this may not be true. This probably isn't true. And so flat earthers exaggerate things. That's a good example. Another example is controversial. The left exaggerates about racism. Oh, there's racists everywhere. They're in the police force. They're everywhere. They're causing all these problems. They're causing all these harms. And in reality, the evidence for this is pretty thin. There really isn't a whole lot of truth to this. I mean, there is some truth. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's untrue, but it's exaggerated. That's the point. It's always exaggerated at these levels. The right, you could say similar things, right? Oh, the left is power hungry. They're doing all these things because they want more power, 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 power. Or they want to cancel all of us and they want to cancel everything. It's like, well, I mean, there's some truth to some of this, but it's exaggerated, right? Exaggerate, exaggerate, exaggerate. That's how the mind works. That's how emotions work. You either exaggerate or under-exaggerate, which you could call that a blind spot as well. So an example of that on the right is like, you could say, well, Trump, you didn't do anything wrong. He was perfectly fine. Like he actually told people to go home, things like this. So while that is true, he also, it did increase the rhetoric up to and including January 6th. Am I going to say that that means he created it? I don't know. Honestly, it is. I think it's a factor of things, to be honest with you. I don't think it's completely Donald Trump. I don't think it's even completely the right wing. I think it was reactions from the left, reactions from the right that all contributed to this in different ways. I'm not saying the left wing caused this or the right wing caused this. I think we have to come to the point of realizing that there are actually multiple causes for things rather than just one. Oh, this caused that. This person did this. How dare he, right? I'm not saying he's not, you know, responsible for the ridiculous rhetoric, because he definitely is. But I don't think he was the only one engaged in doing that. In fact, I think in a lot of ways he was a little bit less than certain others honestly, like, there's a lot of others that were worse than he was in some ways. And then, of course, you could say the same thing about that the right says about the left. Like, oh, the left is just pro-Antifa, that, like, they're supporting these people. And I think there's honestly some policies on both sides that are supporting people that really that shouldn't be people that are supporting. And in groups as well. And while it is true that there are mostly peaceful protests, well, it seems to be true, at least they say it is true, there are problems that you have to become aware of, you have to be willing to face if you're on the left, when it comes to groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Same thing with the right, right? This is obvious. But because we have tribalism, we have to become invested in the group that we're in, We aren't willing to become aware of this truth. This is why it's important to learn to separate the emotion from the understandings. This is the most important thing you can learn how to do. And I say that it's so important to do this that, like, it's no surprise to me that things have gotten the way they have because people haven't learned how to control their emotions. And of course, I was reading this book about social media companies like Facebook and different things. It was talking about how a lot of these companies have lost control of the product that they created. Of course, to the conspiracy theory mind, they'd be like, that'd be unsatisfying. So they go, no, you're wrong. And like, they're doing this because they are trying to control the masses or their whatever it is that they believe in, right? The Jewish question or whatever it is, right? Certain crazy conspiracy theories out there. What are you doing, kitty? Anyways. So, how do you tell the difference between truth and exaggeration? Well, I kind of talked about that already. Emotion, right? How much emotion is involved? The more emotion, the more exaggerated the thing is going to be, right? How do you tell a truth from a blind spot? Similar concept, but in different ways. The more emotion, and so with the exaggeration, it could be something like the more emotion, particularly things like anger, things that support the exaggeration, anger, upset, whatever it is, the more exaggerated your points are going to be, right? So blind spot, it'll be something like embarrassment or becoming triggered, becoming depressed or whatever it is about this thing, because it's telling you something that you're not willing to become aware of yourself. And so other people have to tell you this. So how do you separate emotion from opinion? What does that involve? What does that entail exactly? And the answer is, well, there's a couple things you can do. The simplest, but not necessarily the most useful, or not the most, what's the word I'd use? It's not the one that's going to last the most is what you could call deep breathing, right? Noticing if you have an emotional state that is very strong and breathe deeply or just become aware of your breathing in general. But oftentimes because emotions are strong, so strong, we're not aware of our emotions being this strong. And so we're not aware this is happening, when it's happening. We're aware of it afterwards, as a sort of general rule, right? That's a general rule. You could apply that, and you could probably be right most of the time. So the answer is to become aware of the opinion, start questioning it. Not even really like uncomfortable questions, just like asking why, like the why question multiple times. Well, the world is out to get me, like, this government interestingly is controlled by this group, and this group is not a government, it's a, you know, this kind of, why? What makes you believe this, right? Well, this group said, this YouTube person said this, and it's like, well, what makes you believe that he is correct, right? Things like this. What or why? Usually what, I like what usually a little bit better, because it makes you become a little bit more factual. So what? You know, what makes you believe this is true is a good question. What makes you believe that this person believes this is true? Because oftentimes, a lot of this where it's coming from isn't from yourself. It's coming from another person. And then you listen to it and you get angry. And like, how dare them believe this, right? How dare them do this thing that this person tells me that they did, right? It's not about you. You actually even become aware of yourself or noticing somebody doing this in the parking lot or whatever it is. Most of the time, it's about another person on YouTube or wherever saying this to you and say, oh, this is the big thing that's happening. How dare they do this? And you go, and you, not knowing that where this is leading you, gets carried away with this person or this group or this ideology. Because you're uncritically just sort of like soaking up the information. And it's not your fault. This is not about fault. This is not about me going like, how dare you be uncritical about this? This is about how the mind works. If you are uncritical of the information that you're listening to. And I don't mean uncritical. I don't mean critical as in like if you're critical of this person. I don't mean critical as in like judgments, like, oh, how dare this person say this. I mean critical as in using critical thinking, like, how does this person know this? What sources does this person have in this description? If he's using YouTube, whatever it is, right? How much truth to this is there? That's one of the first steps. Becoming critical. Learning how to become a critical thinker is probably the most important thing you can do in your own life, to be honest with you. Because what I find is that most of the time, these groups, these people are exaggerating. They're taking things to conclusions that these things don't necessarily take themselves on their own, right? But because of emotion and because of these people are not necessarily as critical thinking as they could be, they exaggerate. They have blind spots about these things. And so the question, what makes you believe this is true, is a very important question. Any question with what usually is a good question. Why is kind of like one of those questions where it's like, it can give you some general answers at first, but it really is kind of interesting to me that why is the question people tell you to ask for yourself when it comes to introspection, but like the question, what is actually more useful? So if you're like doing any kind of introspecting or any kind of questioning of anything, the question what, starting with what, is usually more important. Why can be helpful as well. But what is where you get to the answer is usually the facts. What makes you believe this person is telling the truth? What kind of sources and information does this person have? Do they contradict with this person's conclusions? How? You know, things like this. That's kind of the first steps to taking the emotion out of the, or at least calming the emotion down from the position that it was in, right? And so learn to look at alternative sources of information. Learn to look to what scientific studies back this up or don't, whatever it is, right? And of course, always ask this person this question: what makes this person believe this is true? Or a similar question to this, like, what makes you believe this is true? And often what you'll find is that it's not because you know this personally. It's because you saw a YouTube video, or you saw this post on Twitter or X, I guess is what they call it now. And you're like, oh, how dare this be a thing that's happening? And you didn't necessarily do any research to see if this is actually true and this is actually happening. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm saying it's exaggerated. That's usually what's happening. But, anyways, hope you enjoy this episode, and I'll talk to you on the next one.